Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aether Industries post-result conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nilesh Ghuge from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon, all. On behalf of HDFC Securities, I welcome everyone to this Aether Industries conference call to discuss the results for the quarter ended December 2023. From Aether Industries, we have with us today Dr. Aman Desai, Promoter and Whole-Time Director, Dr. Rohan Desai, Promoter and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Faiz Nagaria, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Shubhangi Desai, Executive IR. Without further ado, I will now hand over the floor to Ms. Shubhangi Desai to begin with the earnings call for 3Q FY24. Over to you, Shubhangi.
Thank you, Nilesh. Good evening, everyone. Today, on February 1, 2024, our board has approved the financial results for the third quarter ended on December 31, 2023. And we have released the same to the stock exchanges as well as updated the same on our website. Please note that this conference call is being recorded and a transcript of the same will be made available on the website of Aether Industries Limited and exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Aether Industries Limited and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media without specific and written consent of the company. Let me draw your attention to the fact that on this call, our discussion will include certain forward-looking statements, which are predictions, projections, or other estimates about future events. These estimates reflect management's current expectations on future performance of the company. Please note that these estimates involve several risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. Aether Industries Limited or its officials do not undertake any obligation to publicly update any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of future events or otherwise. Mr. Rohan Desai will begin by sharing Aether's business outlook. Then Mr. Faiz Nagaria will cover the financial highlights for the period under review. And Dr. Aman Desai will share the ongoing expansions and strategy of the company going forward. Now, I shall hand over the call to Mr. Rohan Desai for his opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Rohan.
Good evening, everyone. Before I begin with the business performance, I would like to throw some light on the unfortunate event that affected us during this quarter. On November 29, 2023, a fire broke out in one of the plants of our manufacturing site 2, which was brought under control. The reason for the accident at Site 2 was 15,000 liter storage tank, which leaked from the bottom valve. Stored solvent started flowing, which had the flash point of minus 17 degrees centigrade, led to a vapor cloud formation. There was a movement of the vapor cloud formation internally in the intermediate building plant 2 and nearby tanks in the same plant. Unknown ignition source resulted to vapor cloud explosion with fire and impacted both plant and the tank farm areas. Total 11 fatalities have been registered and 23 people were injured in the unfortunate accident, who has now been discharged successfully. While the loss that we have incurred due to the fire is currently being assessed, we want to assert that we are fully covered with the loss of assets, stocks, as well as loss of profit. The sales and the dispatch of material has remained unaffected as the orders were catered from our inventory, as well as most of our customers have remained upbeat and supportive towards us. Operations have resumed at our manufacturing unit 2, that is site 2. We have received GPCB, that is a pollution control board, partial closure revocation order for the unaffected plant, and the plants have resumed normalcy. With continued efforts to raise our operation at maximum capacity, We strive to timely restart the affected plant in the highly compliant and safe manner. With respect to Aether's business models, we have seen 57% contribution of our total top line of large scale coming from large scale manufacturing business segment, 27% from contract-less exclusive manufacturing as a result of renewal of the agrochemical contract, that is agrochemical intermediate contract, about which I had mentioned in my remarks in Q2 of FY24 call, and 14% which is coming from contract-less exclusive contract research and manufacturing services business model during the Q3 of financial year 2024. Our export revenue stood at 40% and our domestic sales stood at 60%. Demand from our agrochemical customers is coming back on the backdrop of gradual reduction in destocking positions at their end. We are currently seeing an increase in volume from our non-agrochemical products as there is a demand from our customers. However, the intense dumping by the Chinese competition, we have witnessed price erosion. We are currently witnessing price of our products stabilizing at the current levels. Order pipeline is robust and all our customers are positive and looking forward to us coming back to normalcy in a short period of time. We are confident of showing a growing trend in the next financial year onwards. With that, I would conclude speaking and I would request our CFO, Faiz Nagariya, to touch upon the financial highlights for the period under review. Faiz?
Thank you, Rohan, and good evening, everybody. The total revenue of the company stood at ₹1,682 million in the Q3 of financial year 24, as against ₹1,705 million in Q3 of financial year 23, resulting in EBITDA of ₹378 million in Q3 of financial year 24, as against ₹507 million in Q3 of financial year 23, a reduction of 26% in the comparing periods. EBITDA margin stood at 22% in Q3 of financial year 24, as against 30% in Q3 of financial year 23. The PAT amounted to ₹191 million in Q3 of financial year 24 as against ₹350 million in Q3 of financial year 23, resulting in a reduction of 46% in the comparing periods. The PAT margin stood at 11% in Q3 of financial year 24 against 21% in Q3 of financial year 23. The main reason for the reduction in the revenues is attributable to the current fire accident, wherein the production at our manufacturing facility 2 was stopped for a month. The reduced revenue and other exceptional expenses related to the fire accident, like compensation to the families of the deceased, penalty to the GPCB, medical treatment expenses of workers who were hospitalized, and increased insurance premium of our IR policy, resulted in the reduction in EBITDA and PAT margins eventually. One-time cost is approximately ₹70 million for the quarter. We would be having the impact of approximately ₹30 million on account of increase in insurance premium due to the fire accident in this financial year 24. Due to the fire accident at manufacturing facility 2, new production could not be done in the entire December 2023. Now I would request Dr. Aman Desai to share updates on Aether's ongoing expansion plans and strategies going forward.
Thank you, Faiz, for the financial highlights. The well-being of our employees is of foremost importance to us, and I do want to start with expressing my most sincere condolences, solidarity, and gratitude towards the employees and the victims of our recent fire accident. We have taken significant actions to ensure the best treatment to the victims, and we have extended lifelong support to the families of the injured and the deceased. Also, we have been extending complete and transparent cooperation with all the regulatory bodies. We have comprehensively undertaken the detailed investigation and root cause analysis of the incident and the accident, and identified numerous immediate and ongoing corrective and preventive actions, which will help us to ensure that such an accident will never ever happen again at Aether. Despite the various headwinds, the planning and execution of the project work of our greenfield CAPEX at manufacturing site 3++, site 4, and site CapEx on Site 3+ and 3++ is ramping up with the beginning of civil work, machinery and equipment being procured along with all the regulatory approvals in place. These sites 3+ and 3++ are expected to commence operations in Q3 or Q4 of fiscal year 25 as per plan. CapEx on our upcoming Site 4 is also on the verge of completion, which is expected to be commissioned by February 2024, next month. This Site 4 will be initially dedicated entirely to contract/exclusive manufacturing, and the initial construction and plant erection is going to align with our strategic agreement recently previously announced with a leading oilfield services company in the US. As we had guided earlier as well, further structural expansion on Site 4 will be towards the recently announced commercialization agreement with Saudi Aramco Technologies Company on the novel Converge Polyols platform in the near future. CapEx planning towards Site 5 at Panoli is at full pace as well, with a vision of a massive industrial estate with more than 16 production blocks, each production block being ground plus four structures with more than 500 reactors combined. As we have guided, this Site 5 will incorporate global best practices towards safety, sustainability, carbon neutrality, and renewable energy-based resources. During the quarter under review, we have announced the execution of a strategic agreement with a major global lithium-ion battery producer, thereby announcing our entry in the electrolyte additives and battery space. We have been developing products in this field since a long time now, but we had decided to make it public only once we secured a substantial commercial contract with a global major, and this agreement captures that. Thereby, along with this, the commercialization of the sustainable converged polyols and multiple ongoing projects as well as research at Aether, I can ascertain that we have established Aether as the premier India-based provider of sustainable and carbon-neutral chemistry solutions across the industry spectrum. We continue to make significant investments towards R&D. Our R&D expenses for the 9 months of fiscal year 24 stood at Indian rupees 509 million, which is 10% of the total revenues for the 9 month fiscal year 24. The strength of the R&D team at the same period stood at 277. Our major expansion project of the new pilot plant at the land, which was procured on long lease, is in full fledge, nearing completion with the installation of machinery and the final piping and commissioning going on. Needless to say, such aggressive expansion of R&D and pilot plant footprint, which are the workhorses of a CRAMS business model, is, as always, firmly on the backing of numerous inquiries and additional tie-ups with top echelons of global innovators across the industry spectrum, and various contracts are in the pipeline for being executed. With that, thank you very much for your attention and time today, and back to you, Shivani.
Thank you, Dr. Aman. We shall now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, what have been the immediate actions that we have taken after the unfortunate event? And any customer audits have happened after the event, and what's been the general feedback from our customers? Thank you.
Yeah, so we have a comprehensive corrective and preventive action plan that has been identified, which includes significant changes in the already strong preventive maintenance program. It was a solvent leakage as a root cause, and so we have added leak detection was already in place at various sections of the plant, including inside the plant as well as the main tank zone, but unfortunately not at this particular position in the area. And so we have now did a comprehensive sweeping leak detection policy and program in place. We have changed several codes that we are working by. We were quite proud of the safety systems that we had established at Aether, and this accident has shown that there's a clear gap and failure in the safety systems, because accidents will happen, but the safety systems should prevent loss of life, and this has not happened in the accident. So this has clearly showed a gap in the systems that existed, and so we are doing a thorough review. We have initiated a full-scale hazardous operations review of all operations across all sites, and operations were restarted in every single site only after the commencement of a thorough HACCP review. We have started, and we have already, you will see in these announcements in the coming days to come, but we have also completed as well as initiated significant hierarchy changes within the technical departments, and so you will see this in the coming days. And these are just few of the numerous corrective and preventive action plans that has been planned out, as I mentioned before. Before this call, to a different meeting, there's a very detailed investigation analysis presentation and corrective and preventive action plan presentation also ready. And so this is just a few of the top things that come off my head. That is the answer to your first part of the question. The second part is the audits. So the leading oil field services company that is currently in tie-up exclusively with us for Site 4. They have audited Site 2, which is the affected Site 2 in the recent weeks, and that which is the partially open Site 2, the non-affected blocks. So they have re-audited this Site 2, successfully finished. All the compliance from that audit is successfully finished as of today as well. And this is quite a major audit that has happened. We have presented legal investigation reports to almost all of our key customers in all the business models, and these are presentations that go on for more than 2 hours on the very topic of the accident. All customers have showcased solidarity and support. Everybody wants to know what happened and why it happened and what we are doing to ensure this never happens again. And I think we have been successful in addressing that concern quite well with the very detailed work and presentation and corrective and preventive action plan that we have laid out. In terms of the orders, orders have flowed in as per the regularly expected cadence. We have not seen a drop of the orders, and I think the commentary by Rohan and Fares have kind of addressed that too a bit. And so I think, yeah, that addresses all your questions, Rohan. Thanks.
Thanks for answering that comprehensive question and with detailed answers. Second question on the EV battery related contract front. So how does it complement our chemistry skills? You said that we've been working for a while on this. And is there any possibility of supplies of a similar material to Indian manufacturers whenever their capacities come up? And just a little bit more in terms of when the commercial supplies will be expected, the overall potential from this particular product, whether it is a single product or multiple product, and a particular application in the battery. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rohit. Whenever anybody asks me about competencies, it's music to my ears, and so I can take up the next 1 hour talking about the competencies and the fit in the products that we have. But the electrolyte additives field is a very large field. The battery field is a very large field, and there are many, many, many components that go into a battery. There are many components that there are more than 12 components that go into an electrolyte formulation, and there are about 6 to 7 electrolyte additives that are used commonly and not as commonly. In that, there are many salts that are also present, and so we have been very clear in our approach. In all the molecules we have chosen, there has to be a competency fit, and so the molecules that we have chosen are small organic molecules. They are electrolyte additives which have a good fit to our competencies, some of which include ethylene oxide chemistry, the KF, the fluorination chemistry that we want to get into, and of course continuous reaction technology is being applied in every one of the electrolyte additive that we're going after, including catalysis, which is also a major competency for us. And so yes, we have been very selective, and we have only picked a few of the electrolyte additives, which are small organic molecules and showcase a good fit to our competencies. Whether we'll be able, and there are multiple. we have selected a few of them, and they are small organic molecules. And so we have been clear that we will not go after the salts, we will not go after the inorganic chemicals because they are not a good competency fit. That's number one. Number two, Indian manufacturers, of course, yes. This is not an exclusive tie-up that we have. This is a very broad field with a very, very promising future and aggressive market predictions of where these volumes and damages of these various molecules will end up. And there are several big Indian players who have already announced their plans. There are several global players who have announced their plans in the U.S., in Korea. And rest assured, we are reaching out and already talking with many of these global players as well as domestic Indian players. In terms of commercial supply and the initiation of the commercial supply thereof of these molecules, we expect initial commercial volumes and supplies to start off within this calendar year, 2024, with significant volumes and production and commercial manufacturing starting in calendar year 2025. But we expect the initial commercialization, trial orders, validation orders, which should be in itself not a trivial quantity, to be done in 2024 itself.
Sure.
Thanks, Mohit. Maybe we could go to somebody else and then come back to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for answering the question. Thank you.
And for thank you.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much for confirming that. First, I will ask the bookkeeping question, probably then go on more broader questions. This quarter, our gross profit margin is at 41%. Was there any loss of material also, which has led to a drop in the margin in this quarter? That's number one. Number two on the bookkeeping is that there has been a restatement in the cost line item for the last quarter, both employee cost and other expenses. Can you explain us what has led to the restatement of the historical number, which is the Q1 number? These are two bookkeeping questions, and then probably I will take the rest of this.
Yeah. So I'll take the second question first. The regrouping, what happened is, in the last quarter, the director's remuneration was erroneously shown in the employee cost, and so we had to change it to the other expenses. That is the thing which we have done. So we have brought it down in the other expenses to group it with the, and to make it more compatible with the other quarters. So that. And for the first question, we have still not provided for any loss of stock because the assessment of loss is still going on. If you see the financials, you can see the changes in inventories has dropped significantly because, as in the comment also Rohan said, that we have sold the goods from our finished goods inventories and there was no production in the site two, which was contributing around 60-65% to our revenues, and production also was taking place more there. So there is no, the changes in inventory has gone down, which has resulted into the gross margin going down. Going forward, as the production will increase, we will have the finished goods and semi-finished goods inventories coming back. This will be again back to the square.
Oh, now I got it. That's why the other expense is also down, because it is largely captured before the finished goods.
Yes.
Right, Faz?
Yes.
Yes, got it. No, that's very clear now. Rohan, on the competitive intensity, you did touch upon in your opening remark that there is an increased competitive intensity from the Chinese. Can you allude more? Are we seeing how is the competitive intensity in the product that we manufacture? Have we faced anything, any rising competitive intensity from Chinese, particularly in our pharma side of the business?
We are on majority of our products, we are the only source in India. Most of the competition comes out of China, 80% is coming out of China, 10% from Japan, 10% from Europe. We are not seeing any increased sources coming from China or being added from China at this moment. However, because of the currency devaluation and the government incentives and the export benefits, which the Chinese competition is getting, they had become more.
approximately 20 to 30% from the start of the correction, and that is what we are facing right now. So we are at the bottom out position at the moment. I don't see a further decline happening on the prices of our products.
Got it, got it. Second, on the agrochemical side of the business, this quarter we saw a sharp decline. This was more like pushing the inventory from the Q4, and hence the recovery for next quarter will be higher, or we generally had a lower inventory, so lower sales in agrochemical?
There are two parts of it. One was stock correction price, so you're comparing Q3 to Q3, or you're comparing Q2 to Q3?
No, last year Q3 to this year Q3.
Yeah, that is because of the price correction. We are manufacturing three intermediates, out of which two intermediates have seen a drastic price correction because of the Chinese competition entering into that space. And hence, the volumes are robust on that basis, but the prices have been corrected significantly.
Okay, okay. So the drop in the revenue is largely because of pricing. We are held the volume market share, right?
Yes, volume market share we have. We have not changed in that position. The change is significantly because of the price correction.
Got it, got it. Oh, one last question from my side before I join back in the queue.
We are in
the process of commercializing Site 3++, Site 4 and Site 5 we are now planning. So what is the capacity we anticipate to add from all these three sites when they are fully commissioned, say, 3 years down the line?
This would be, say, 4 or 5 years down the line, these would be tremendous capacity, right? And so you're talking about thousands of tons of capacity.
It excites me a lot. So just from the gross block perspective, if you can help us understand, what is the gross block for each of these three sites?
So we share the excitement. Depending on the product that you choose, and depending on, so for example, if the molecular relative spans out the way the people all over the world claim it would pan out, you're talking, you know, individual electrode additive would be literally thousands of tons of requirements. And so if you go on the converged polyols, if these pan out the way we think it would also be a very significant volume and tonnage. And so it depends on the products, it depends on the number of steps within the product, and it depends upon the complexity of the product. In terms of the gross block, I think Faiz can answer that.
Yeah, so the gross block for site 3++ would be around 200 CR. Currently, site 5, first phase which you are doing, the gross block would be around 75 to 85 CR. And site 5, the first phase is around 500 CR. And fully operational after 5 to 6 years put down the line, it should be around 2,200 crores approximately on Panoli site.
Fair enough. That's quite clear. And thanks for answering all my questions, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prolin, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thank you for taking my question, and sincere solidarity on the loss of life and people at your company. I have two questions. The first one is that, in contract manufacturing, in the past you have alluded to the fact that the margins in those businesses or in that segment is similar to our large-scale manufacturing. So I just wanted to understand, from the working capital side of it, how is the working capital in the contract manufacturing business different from our large-scale manufacturing? And a related question would be, will this margin profile be any different in case we are able to get a pharma contract there, right? Because right now, if I'm not wrong, we have... we don't have a pharma contract on the contract manufacturing. So will the margin profile be different? And just to understand, how should one look at the working capital intensity of contract manufacturing business?
Let me just differentiate ourselves in a way where we are saying that we are only making generic intermediates right now. We are not making a patentable product intermediate at this moment in contract exclusive manufacturing. When we do enter into that, which will be there in the short period of time, the margins will improve drastically on contract exclusive manufacturing. However, at this moment, contract exclusive manufacturing and our large-scale manufacturing margins are almost in the similar line and only differentiated by 100 basis points range.
Sure, and on the working capital side of it?
So the working capital cycle for the contract manufacturing and LSM is currently just similar because, as Rohan said, all these products are generic products and we are supplying to current customers and we are giving them the same credit terms which we are giving to the customers. So working capital cycle currently is similar for them. And as we move ahead and have more patent specific or better products in these things, we will be able to reduce the working capital cycle in this contract manufacturing.
Okay, so what I understand it correctly, both margins and working capital cycle will improve as we move from generic to slightly more specialized intermediary. Is that a fair summarization of the answer?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that. The second question would be on this polyol contract, right? Can you help us understand where does this contract lie in your 8x8 matrix, right, in terms of chemistry and technology? And now that we have been successful in getting that contract, how will it benefit in terms of expanding our 8x8 matrix or, fortifying or strengthening some of the components of our 8x8 matrix, if you can talk about competencies, especially for this polyol contract, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, a great question again. So originally the project started off with Saudi Aramco Technologies Company several years ago on proving a key piece of operation in the overall process to make this converged polyols, and that was based upon continuous reaction technology, which is number one in the 8x8 matrix on the technology side of our competencies. And so continuous reaction technology is featured in the manufacturing of the converged polyols, and in the chemistry side it is catalysis and high pressure chemistry. And so these are the original fits which are still present in the manufacturing of these converged polyols, and they are a very good fit to our existing and very first 8x8 matrix that we built 10 years ago. What this will add to in terms of additional competencies in the future will be a solid, comprehensive understanding and expertise in the manufacturing of polyols, i.e. And so that gives us entry into the field of polymers, which is very exciting if you think about all the potential that exists in the specialty polymers world. It is very exciting, and this kind of gives us a hand-holding segue into understanding this world and getting experience in the manufacturing of polymers. And so polymerization will be a new competency that we can add as a result of these polyols. Thanks.
Great. Just one last question, if I may. Can you give us some revenue visibility of this contract? Because in the press release which we had released back in June of 2023, we had mentioned that each product has a potential of around 1,300 odd metric tons per month. So what is the, what should be the starting revenue and when should it start hitting, and what could be the, peak revenues from this contract?
So there's some confusion there. I think the 1,300 tons per month that you mentioned was the LOI done with the oil field services company. And that is a different contract and agreement and announcement as compared to the one with Saudi Aramco Technologies Company. I don't believe they have ever publicly speculated on the tonnage for the Saudi Aramco Technologies Company Converge for the oils platform. And so there's two different things. So to address the visibility on the revenue, I'm afraid that this is not a platform and we will not be able to provide any visibility towards the revenues or the tonnage in the future. Sorry.
Okay. And not also on timeline in terms of when should this revenue start hitting us in terms of P&L?
So if you think about the oil field services, 1,300 tons per month that you mentioned, we fully expect full or almost full contribution of that in the fiscal year 25, i.e. April, the quarter starting from April 24, in 3 months from now, we expect to be getting contributions from Site 4, which is being designed for the commercialization of the contract with the oil field services company, which is the LOI mentioning the 1,300 tons per month. And so with that, you know, this visibility is for sure the next fiscal year, the next quarter. And for the Saudi Aramco Technologies company, well, commercialization has already started. In this quarter, it's smaller, so not a significant mover of the needle yet, but commercialization and manufacturing has already started, and we hope it will pick up soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Valium Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the Site 3. So if you can help me, what is the utilization that we are running today? I reckon that we had spent around 200 crores and we had reached around 30% in the first half. So, what is the utilization over there? That's the question number one. And follow up on that. Site 3 plus, we did plan to start the commercialization. So, if you can help me, by when is that project coming up?
Yeah. So we are currently at 42% capacity utilization of Site 3. And Site 3 plus and plus both combined together, and the remaining part of the site will be commercialized in September 2024 will start commercialization, and it will take 3 months to stabilize the plant.
Got it. And the capacity is roughly around 3,500 tons, for which we have spent 200 crores, am I correct?
Yes.
Got it. So my question, so the second question is on the Site 2. While we did have a very unfortunate incident, can you help me which product got impacted in this site? I reckon that we had two products that we were manufacturing for Otsuka Japan. Has that been shifted to some other site on the Site 1 or somewhere? Because that's not reflecting on the loss of sales quarter on quarter. You've been maintaining the quarter on quarter trajectory of sales. So has there been any loss of sales from Site 2? Which product got impacted, and about the two products that we were manufacturing for Otsuka?
So I would not bifurcate the products over here because these transcripts are publicly available, and our Chinese competition can get this information very easily, Priyank. So I'm sorry to not give you that information on the particular products. But talking about Otsuka, there are two products which we were existingly manufacturing it in our large-scale manufacturing platform. And so we have joined and have an association with Otsuka on the existing products, which are manufactured in Site 2. And as we had good amount of stock lying with us, this was not affected. And secondly, we have got a partial revocation of Site 2 already. So this product which we are talking about, which is with regards to Otsuka, is already back online.
Got it. So to the key takeaway is that there was no loss of sales per se from the Site 2, right? That's the key message that you should take it.
No. Obviously, there was a loss of sales because our two products were almost at very nominal stock levels, so which we could not produce for approximately 2 months. That was a loss of sales which was there. And second was that we were not producing for a period of the closure which we had received. And hence, we were selling out of the stock, basically, that material. So if you see the stock position you will see that our stock positions have reduced drastically, and hence it is not impacting much on the top line. However, it is impacted us on gross margins.
No, I understand. So, would it be possible to quantify what quantum of sales did we lose, which would get recompensated because we have got a partial revocation in the current quarter? The production should start, and as and when the rectifications are done. So, anything that you would like to quantify on loss of sales for the 2 months?
We have internal targets, but we would not like to lead you at what was the projected sales of Q3. We had certain internal targets which we cannot lead you to it. But we lost a considerable amount of sales, let me tell you that.
Got it. If you can help me with the realization per kilo for Q3 or for 9 months, it would be great.
1514, that is 1514, is a Q3 average realization per kilo.
And for 9 months, this translates into
1570.
Got it. Just a last question on site 4, where the oil field contract lies. The commencement of the construction has started in July 2023. By when would this get commissioned?
We will start commissioning next month in February. And so we are going quite aggressive on that site. And we are going to start commissioning in February with expectations of full contributions in the next fiscal year.
And sir, just to verify the realizations for this product, were at around $3 to $4 per kilo, and that has not that has remained stable, right? At, even in the current market scenario.
Yes, yes, yes. That has remained stable. That the current market scenario is going to not affect this contract.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Priyank.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirius. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand that fundamentally anything has changed in the overall chemical or the specialty chemical business, like where we were sitting in 2022 when we were evaluating projects and where we are today. Has anything changed, or it is just a destocking that segment?
Nothing has changed in the macro part of the world. If you take a step back, when we were in the midst of COVID, we thought the world would end. But then if you took a step back and we realized that life goes on as per normal. And so, jokes apart, nothing has really changed. If you step back and look at the global perspective, I've always maintained that this is a golden decade for the Indian spec chem industry. I believe this is a golden decade for the Indian spec chem industry and will remain so. But if you like go into the micro at this, in this current day and month, China is extremely aggressive in their pricing strategy. Destocking is happening. Inventory levels are very high because of the COVID time closures and the inflation that took place subsequently, and the stocking that happened all over the world as a result of which inventory is built up even further. That is currently being aggressively destocked by China, and they are truly dumping in a very aggressive fashion. And so that's a current state of affairs. But if you take a step back and look at it like from a yearly perspective, I don't see any problems in all the tailwinds that were there in 2022, which will come back, I believe, in 2024 to an extent, fully in 2025.
So initially, like if we were estimating a ROC of 20 or 25% for the project, even beyond the destocking, we should get there. That is a fair understanding, or it could end up somewhere lower now in this cycle?
Currently, for the ROC levels in the mode where you are using lots of capex, which is coming up, and things happening, we would always...
I was asking on a project basis, like when you are evaluating a project on a certain ROC, and even beyond the destocking, should we get to those levels, or it might be lower than what we were thinking?
No, we should get to those levels. Then only the projects will...
Hello? Yeah. Okay. So secondly, in terms of China, we are hearing that even now China has been aggressively investing in the downstream and in the specialty or complex products. How true is that, and how should we look at them as a competition even in the complex chemistries and products?
They are a formidable force, and they are the best in what they do in the spec chem space or the commodity space or the API or AI space. So we shouldn't discount China in any way possible, and we should consider this threat very seriously and take proper care that when we select the products which falls into our core competency, we should do our techno-commercial studies very properly and seriously, and that is what we do.
So in our product basket, if we want to understand, like, across the products that we are manufacturing, is it fair to assume that we would be one of the lowest cost producers in the world, that is why we are competitive even at these prices?
We might be lowest cost producers in the world, but we are the only most in the most of the products, we are the only manufacturers of this particular product in India. And that gives us a good advantage as compared to our competition in China, where you have a source which is reliable, Indian source, which is reliable, auditable, and holds up to the values of the business, basically.
Okay, so got it. So basically, I think the key takeaway is that beyond the destocking, maybe like 1-2 quarters down the line, we should see some gradual normalization, and CY25 is where we should be back to the normal levels. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay, so, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. One or two questions, which is related to Novoloop and the circular plastics. If you can take us through, what is the role that Aether will play over here, and what sort of an arrangement is done over here?
Yeah, Rohit, thanks for that. It's a very interesting project that we have started an exclusive relationship with Novoloop in California. They have a very interesting and novel technology of degrading polymers waste into the crude basic monomers and then upcycling them to useful polymers. And so it's kind of a circular economy, but even an upcycling economy. So the current arrangement is that Aether is they have a process in place, which is basic and rudimentary and in their labs, and Aether is the exclusive partner with which they are validating the process. One, scaling up the process. Two, in the pilot plant, which is the current phase and the current press release was about. And three, then in the future, potentially partnering towards further scaling up and commercialization as well. And the partnership is sound. We are aligned on the interests and the competencies, and it is a very interesting field. It's again a new field for Aether. It is adding significantly to the basket of sustainable processes and products and areas that we're getting into, diversifying away from the ag and the pharma core of our business, which is a strong focus for us. And so it's that way, it's very interesting. And so the current press release was more on the side of Novoloop, and so we kind of made a press release backing up on that. But they were presenting in the World Economic Forum in Davos this particular case study and their technology, and they wanted to secure a press release before that. And so we kind of helped them out in that, and it's very interesting where this will end up. Potentially go all the way towards commercialization.
And this pilot plant is at which site from Aether's end?
Site one, the new pilot plant that we're building. We're building an entire state-of-the-art, fully automated manufacturing scale. Going back to the various questions on this call, core competencies, and so it's continuous reaction technology. It's a CSTR and depolymerization, which is very unique and very interesting technology that they have kind of innovated on, and they're going to bring to commercial realization.
Dr. Raman, please, if you can just take us through that, what sort of revenue potential do you see, or what sort of investments do you feel, because it's a promising business and promising chemistry going forward, what sort of competition is there, or something on the market size or the margins profile, if you all can share that?
The market size, you can imagine the PET waste that happens in the world is hundreds of thousands of tons. Mm-hmm. And there are a select few companies. In fact, we are working with I cannot name them, but I'm working with some other company as well in the US based on very similar field of upcycling and circular economy of polymers. And so it's a newly developing field, and we are firmly in partnership with the front runners of this field. And the market potential is tremendous. You know, every single plastic that you touch currently is going to waste. And you know, you throw in plastic, you throw in plastic polymers in the recycled bin at the airport, but actually only about 10 to 15% of that what is thrown into the recycled bin is actually recycled or upcycled. The rest of it actually goes to waste. And so I'm just looking at some Google number here and of our Google website, Google search, which says sustainable plastic waste management market in the world, and that's claiming to be $35 billion in 2021, and so $45 billion in 2029. And so that's, you know, it's too early to say anything, but it's a very interesting field. We are working with all the major players right now. Novolog is one of them that we publicly announced, and I think we are going to focus on this field as well in the coming future, and the potential is tremendous. You're talking about thousands of tons. Okay. And as far as we know, you know, we are the only people in India doing this in partnership with such companies.
Dr. Raman Pais, you think that these kind of businesses will kind of put a little bit of a dent on the margin profile, which was earlier 28%, or we were scaling up to 32-33%. Do you think that
the realization will be small, but the margins and the EBITDAs will be gradual and going up. And so we will not compromise as a business policy and as a fundamental methodology, philosophy of the company and the family. We will not compromise on the margin levels and the EBITDA levels as much as possible in the products going forward. The realizations might be small. For example, the oil field services, as the other speaker mentioned previously, was $3 to $4 of realization as compared to, you know, 1,500 rupees of almost $18 of the current average realization that we have today. So we'll compromise on the realization, because that depends on the field that we get in. But we will, as much as possible, try and not compromise on the margins and the EBITDAs.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you, Dr. Raman. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Indrajit Bhatia from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Aman, hi Rohan, hi Faiz. Thanks for the opportunity. Hope all okay at the site now. Just couple of questions. One is on this, if you could just explain this margin. I think there was a comment by Rohan, I think, that gross margins got impacted. If you could just explain the mechanics as to how exactly this played out. And second is, do we expect to kind of go back to our usual 20% net profit margins back, say, from quarter four or next year onwards?
Yeah, so in the phase here, as Rohan said in his commentary, that we were able to achieve the sales in the third quarter mainly because of the finished goods inventory which we had for the materials which were required by the customers. And so finished goods inventories are all sold out. And if you see, the changes in inventories due to the finished goods has gone down drastically. And that has impacted the margins, because there is no production which has happened. Only the sales has happened. Okay. The changes in inventories, which was 25 crores in the last quarter, has come down to 3 crores, which has impacted the 55 crores, which could have been better number if the site was working properly in December month also. So that could have changed the numbers drastically. The main reason is that it is because of the finished goods which have been sold off and the change in inventory has gone down a lot and the reduced numbers in the sales.
Okay. So we should
and
be able
regarding the margin.
Go ahead.
Yes, and regarding the profit margins, we definitely were banking and the 20% was our benchmark. That still remains the benchmark to grow from there gradually. We would definitely be willing to bring this back in quarter four, but from next year, of course, we should. That is the target again for us.
Okay. Was there any, among the other costs, is there any kind of a inventory related cost or damages to inventory, damages to finished goods? Is any of that kind of cost also booked in the P&L this time around?
No. Currently, if you see the footnotes, I have mentioned clearly that the loss assessment is going on and currently you have not taken any impact of assets or of stocks or profit loss in this current quarter. Once the assessment is over and we are submitting the final claim to the insurance company with accurate numbers, then only we will be taking the impact in the books of accounts.
Sure. And typically the turnaround time by insurance company to kind of pay us damages would be 6 months?
Yeah, it is 6 months, but we have been providing the required information and data to them, so we should try that we are able to close this in within 3 to 4 months.
Got it. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating in the call. We hope that we have addressed majority of your questions. If you still have any further unanswered questions, then please feel free to reach out to us. Have a great day ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.